I want to read some scripture and ask for your prayers. I want to call your attention to the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, and I would like to read the first six verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the first six verses. It says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." That's right, Brother Ralph. You were right on target. Our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. I'd like to, there's a lot that could be said. There are really several different messages that could be brought from these six verses of Scripture. There's a lot of things that are said in this. But I want to bring before you what the Lord has placed upon my heart. And I want you to think about that statement that the apostle made. The Apostle Paul made, and we find recorded in the fifth verse. He said that not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Now, the word here, sufficient, and anybody that studies the King James Bible knows this, that many of the words that were used 400 years ago in Old English, we are using those same words many times today in a different application. But the word sufficient here was really in reference to ability. And if you look in the sixth verse, Paul said that it was God that had made them able ministers of the New Testament. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." So the Apostle Paul here was saying in this fifth and sixth verse, well, perhaps I should say one of the things that he was saying here is that we are not self-made men. The Lord has made us, and the Lord has granted us ability. Now, Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, and among our Missionary Baptist churches throughout the years, we have always believed and practiced that we don't recognize any man as a minister unless he can give an account of God calling him into the ministry, God placing him in the ministry. And we read that over and over and over and over throughout the Scriptures. We read about The Apostle Paul was always making the point when he would write epistles to different ones that he had been called of God to be an apostle. And so he was telling the Corinthians here that, you know, they were not self-made ministers, that they had been given this gift by the Lord. But, you know, we can, I believe we can apply this to the Christian life as a whole, to the Christian life in general, and say that we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And I believe that that's what whoever it was, and I'm not sure, Brother Strode probably knows, but I'm not sure who that it was, but I believe that that's what the part of the message was, that the writer of that song that Brother Ralph shared with us today was making that point, that I believe that's why he wrote the lyrics, "I'm not on an ego trip, I'm nothing on my own." And so we are not sufficient to think anything of ourselves. You know, if we look in the 118th Psalm in the 8th verse, which from what I understand, and I'm not going to lie to you, I haven't gone and counted them, but from what I understand, Psalm 118 and 8 is the very middle verse, the very center verse of the Bible. And in that verse, it says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." In the next verse, in the 9th verse, it says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." And I'll tell you what will happen oftentimes. When you put confidence in man, and what he's talking about there, what the psalmist was talking about there was mankind, and so it includes men and women. But, you know, oftentimes when we place confidence in the flesh, when we place confidence in people, oftentimes we're going to find out that there's something about them that will let us down. And you know what? That's true, it seems, for every relationship that there is, whether it's a parent and a child or a husband and wife, there's always some way we don't ever fully please one another. And so, but you know what? God, I'm satisfied with God in everything He does. The Lord never disappoints us, does He? He's perfect in all of His ways. Now, you know, we may look at that verse, we may look at that 118th Psalm in verse 8, where it says it's better to trust in the Lord than to place confidence in man. And we may look at that and we may say, well, okay, then the psalmist is telling us that it's more profitable, that it's better for us to place our trust in the Lord than it is in people. And we may think solely about those around us. But we need to stop and consider this, that when the Bible said that it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, we need to understand, you know, if I read that verse, then I need to understand that I also am a man. And so it goes, I believe, for self-confidence as well. You know, we are better off to trust in the Lord than we are to trust in man, including ourselves. And, you know, I believe that all of us here today that have been saved, we understand this, that there's not any of us here that are planning to get to heaven when we die based upon our own righteousness. We are going to heaven when we die and leave this world because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our self-righteousness, Isaiah said, our righteousness is as filthy rags, and that's exactly what it is in the sight of the Lord. We have, when we are regenerated, when we are born again, then we have an imputed righteousness. We are therefore being justified, or therefore being declared righteous by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't place our trust in one another or even in ourselves the way that we do in the Lord. We are looking to Him. You know, that's the reason that when we come together, we make our request of one another and we ask each other to help us to pray, to look to the Lord for the help that we need. Because we know that He is able to deliver. He's able to, He has the power to get things done. And so we look to Him and we place our trust in Him. You know, the Bible tells us, Solomon told us, that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And you can read about accounts of different ones throughout the Scriptures. And I believe that King Uzziah was one of them. You can read about him, I believe, somewhere around the 21st chapter of 2 Chronicles. You can read about the life of Uzziah. And he really did some wonderful works for the Lord, but it tells about things that he had done, and then all of a sudden it says that his heart was lifted up, and then he began to get away from the Lord and do some things that he should not have done. And so, you know, we if we're going to stay on the right path, we're going to have to trust in the Lord, aren't we? We're going to have to walk with the Lord rather than placing confidence in ourselves. We're going to have to keep our eyes on Jesus. And I'll tell you what, when you look at Jesus, everything looks better. When you look at the Lord, like the song says, turn your eyes up on Jesus, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. And everything looks better. You know, if you look around at the world today and you look around at what people are doing today, boy, it's pretty dismal, isn't it? I mean, it can be very disheartening and very discouraging, but we know that God's still on the throne and He can still do all things. And you know what? As God's people in respect to our nation, in respect to our church, in respect to our individual lives, we need to look to the Lord. We need to place our trust in the Lord and not in ourselves. And so there was a statement that Brother Chuck Durant made. I was listening to him teach a Sunday school class some time ago, and he made this statement, and it's just been with me ever since. And if I remember right, I believe he was talking about David. And he was talking about the sins that King David had committed. And he made this statement. Brother Chuck said, I'm glad that God didn't hide these things from us. He said, I'm thankful that He put in His Word these things that had happened. He told us the truth. And He didn't shield us from these things. And we can look at situations throughout the Scriptures with men like David and Moses and Elijah the prophet and John the Baptist and the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul, and we can find things recorded throughout the scriptures where when they didn't stay close to the Lord and they didn't walk with the Lord the way that they should have, that they didn't do well, did they? They didn't do well. You know, the truth about us is that as long as we live here, and again, I believe the song that was shared with us today tells us that, the truth is that as long as we live here in this flesh, we're not going to be perfect. You know, when the Lord saved us, every one of us, when He saved us, He gave us, the Bible says, the earnest of our inheritance. But you know, our children, oftentimes in during vacation Bible school, and I know my little granddaughter Hannah has been here before and came up here and sung this song, but they sing the song, "He's Still Working on Me." And I know that we hear that and we think about that as being a little children's song that they sing in vacation Bible school or Sunday school or what have you. But listen, it's true. The song is true. He's still working on me. God is still working on us. When He saved us, He gave us all the salvation that we needed to make it to heaven when this life is over. But He is still perfecting in us. He is still working on us to perfect in us what we will one day be. And so the Bible teaches us that while we are living here, that, you know, when the Lord saves us, when we repent of our sins and trust in the Lord and He saves us, He gives us a new nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." But we also realize that there is a warfare going on within us because we do still possess that sinful nature of Adam in the flesh. And it amazes me what the Apostle Paul said. If you look in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul wrote about this. And in Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 18, he said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Now, you know, we need to be careful because there is those of who have been saved, there is that part that the Lord has cleansed, and it is good. And so it is perfect. And so the Apostle Paul made it plain here what he was talking about. He was talking about that nature of Adam that he still possessed. He said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For that which I, for the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Anybody here today that never sins? I don't see any hands going up. We all know that we do, don't we? And Paul found the same thing in his life. "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But he said, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, or from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And you know, we can take all of that the Apostle Paul said, and we can just say that there is a conflict. There's a conflict. That part that the Lord has touched wants to do good and wants to do right, but that part that's still evil wars against that and wants to do, wants to continue in the ways of sin. What did Jesus tell his disciples when he went to Gethsemane to pray and he separated himself from them? When he was praying, he came back and he found them asleep. And he said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. And so we find that, you know, throughout the Word of God. We find examples of that. What happened to David? What happened to this man that the Bible tells us was a man after God's own heart? What happened to him? When he was up there on that rooftop and he saw Bathsheba, what happened to him? I'll tell you what happened to him. He got in the flesh. He got in the flesh. And, you know, when the Lord was teaching his disciples, when we read about him giving them a model prayer in the 6th chapter of Matthew, one of the things that he taught them to pray was that they would pray to the Lord and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, God doesn't tempt people to sin. And that's not what they were saying. They were not saying, God, don't tempt us to sin. Their prayer was to be that God would deliver them from that, that he would deliver them from temptation, that he would deliver them from evil. And, you know, we can look at that and we can say, well, they were praying that the Lord would deliver them from Satan. And I'm sure that that applies, and I'm sure that that's true, but we must also pray that the Lord will deliver us from the evil that we are prone to do. That we're prone to do. Because we all are, aren't we? John spoke about it in his first epistle. He said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so, you know, certainly we don't want to deceive our own hearts. And so, you know, we pray, Father, help us. Help us to overcome the flesh. And I'll tell you what, I believe that through the years, I believe that what has caused many people, many of God's people, to fall into sin, like many of the examples that we have of people in the scriptures that happened to, was I believe that there were too many times when people felt that they were strong enough within themselves to overcome, and found out that they weren't. We need the help of God, don't we? That's what that prayer is about. That God would help us. Not only that he would deliver us from the evil around us, that may come from others, but that he may also deliver us from the evil that we ourselves are prone to do. I'll tell you something. And I think that if we are all honest, we all have to admit this. Listen, it's not other people. It's not the devil himself that has the most opportunity to mess up my walk with God. You know who it is? Me. We've talked about it before, how, back in the 60s, I guess it was, the comedian coined the phrase, "The devil made me do it." No. No, he didn't. He'll tempt us. He will tempt us. He will come at us with everything he can. But I'm going to tell you what, when we falter and we fail, it's the responsibility falls upon us. Upon us. And so nobody makes us do anything. We make perhaps bad decisions, and each of us are the one most capable of messing up our own life. Jesus taught his disciples. If you look in John chapter 15, the Lord taught his disciples that he was the vine. This is a beautiful illustration. He taught them that he was the vine and they were the branches. And he said that he taught them that the vine, apart from the branch, on its own, by itself, cannot produce fruit. Listen, you know what? When we see the accomplishments of one another, when we see the accomplishments of our brothers and sisters, you know what? We need to thank God for what he does with us, for what he does through us, because we don't do anything by ourselves. Jesus taught them that. He said, "I'm the vine, and you're the branches. And the branches cannot produce fruit on their own." He said, "The only way that you can bring forth fruit is when you abide in me, when the branches abide in the vine." And that's where he made the statement to them that we hear so often when he told his disciples. He said, "For without me, ye can do nothing." You know what he was talking about? He was talking about bringing forth fruit. He was talking about a fruitful life. And he said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And that's true. Without him, we cannot bring forth fruit, because he is the vine. And that's where the increase comes from. And so we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God. Jesus taught his disciples, he asked these questions. He said, "Why do you," let me just read it and I won't mess it up. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3, Jesus said, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, 'Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye,' and behold, a beam is in thine own eye?" I'm going to tell you something. You may not like it, but I'm going to tell you something that I believe today. I believe that every one of us I didn't say every one of you. I said, I believe that every one of us as God's people struggle with that teaching. I believe we do. I believe that we all have a tendency to look at others more than we do ourselves. I believe that we all are guilty, that we all have a tendency to look at the mote in our brother's eye and completely overlook the beam that's in our own eye. And what Jesus was talking about there was the mote being something small and the beam being a great big thing. And so, you know, we struggle with that because of the flesh. You know what we hear, and this is becomes more and more true in our society every day. Every day. Every time something happens, it's his fault or her fault. You know, a person goes through the drive-up window and they order a cup of coffee. I like my coffee hot, don't you? They order a cup of coffee and they get the coffee and they spill it on themselves, and it's their fault for serving me hot coffee. That's the type of society that we live in more and more and more all the time. Nobody wants to take responsibility, personal accountability. But I'll tell you what, when we stand before the Lord, we have it. We have it. We have personal accountability. We're not sufficient. We're not self-made. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you, if you want to see anything good in me, you better look at what the Lord does. You better look at what the Lord does. I really believe that with people, that the more that we learn about the human part of one another, the more there'll be not to like. You may think that's an odd statement, but I believe it's true. The more that we see of the flesh, the more there'll be not to like. But the more that we see of what God does in us, the more there is to love. The more there is to love. And I believe that's why that we can love one another the way that we do. Because God put his love in us and gave us a godly love one for another. And but we're all just like Paul. In our flesh dwelleth no good thing. Hard to accept, isn't it? It's hard for us to accept. In our flesh dwelleth no good thing. The only thing good about me, the only thing good about you, the only thing good about anybody is what the Lord does for them. You know, when I was lost, I was totally depraved. I believe we all were. We were just depraved. There's nothing good about us. And the only thing that is later is what the Lord does within us. So let's trust the Lord. It's better to trust him than to trust in man. That's what the Bible tells us. Better to put our trust in the Lord. Those are my thoughts today. Let's have a song. I'll say this. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you're never going to be saved until you put all your trust in the Lord. You're going to have to trust him with your soul in order to be saved. So let's stand and have a song.
Number 257, number 257. step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with His loving hand He leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground He ever leads me on. Until someday the last step will be taken, each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begin to waver, when up ahead I see a chasm wide. It's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when He is by my side. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground He ever leads me on. Until someday the last step will be taken, each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in God no matter come what may, for life eternal is in His hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground He ever leads me on. Until someday the last step will be taken, each step I take just leads me closer home.